Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Casa Connection podcast. We hope you've been enjoying the content that we have been pushing out. We did take a little bit of time off because our executive director who is with us, Tracy Heisler, was on a much needed and well-deserved vacation overseas. Tracy, how are you doing here? And how was the trip?
I'm awesome. I was in Iceland communing with elves and trolls.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
You were communicating with elves and trolls. I unfortunately have been ill for the past few weeks. So that's another reason why we didn't necessarily get a podcast up in a timely fashion this past week, but we are in your ears right now. And it is good to be talking about the world of foster care, and specifically here in the month of February, being able to talk about Black History Month and what we have been doing here at Casa Shaw, not just in February, but throughout the entire year, to make sure that we are educating our communities on racism, on implicit bias, our the history of race trainings that we have been doing in concert with other CASA programs throughout the state of New Jersey. We really wanted to bring this to light within this particular podcast episode. And Tracy, I had gone through the history of race training with various individuals within our CASA network, and we've done a number of, whether it's CASA cafes, and we have really been engaged within the realm of how race and implicit bias is and should be a focus point within the realm of foster care. And I'm very proud of what our organization has done. I'm going to stop pontificating to let you get a word in here. But really, it's not just February with Black History Month. We are doing this on a continual basis throughout the year. And I think that's what makes our CASA program very, very special in the end.
Thank you. I think so, too. And you know, we talk about Black History Month, and that's important. But
yeah,
what we need to talk about in a broader sense is that Black history is American history.
Yes.
We would not be who we are today without contributions, voluntary and involuntary, unfortunately, of the African-American community.
Absolutely. And I'm going to put this out there really quick. Tracy, this is not meant, folks, to be political in any way, shape, or form, because there are unfortunately folks who may take something like this subject matter and make it political, but it's not. It is a reality within the world of foster care. This is what we live with. This is what we work with on a daily basis, day in and day out. And it is an important discussion piece and important for us to talk about educating our communities about race as well. It's so important to what we do in our work.
Well, and one of the reasons it's so important is that we know from the data that Black and brown children are overrepresented in the child welfare system. We also know from the data that Black and brown families do not abuse their children at higher rates or neglect their children
exactly
at higher rates
yeah
than white families. So what's happening there? The New Jersey judiciary and the New Jersey child welfare system is also aware of this problem, and for the last several years, in concert with CASA programs, has been working on trying to address this issue of disproportionality and bias within the child welfare system. So this isn't something that we're just talking about in our little corner of,
right,
of New Jersey.
Yep.
It is something that's being addressed statewide from multiple facets.
Absolutely.
So you might recall, we've talked before about the racial equity circles that we have been doing here at CASA Shaw that we started a few years ago.
And not just with regard to Black and brown individuals, but we have dove into Asian culture as well in terms of those
and
racial equity
Native
circles.
American culture,
Native American,
and Latinx
yeah
culture.
Yep.
And with the racial equity circles, after the first year, which was the African American experience, in talking, debriefing the experience with advocates, we found that there just was a whole lot of things that we never learned in
yeah
school.
Yeah.
Things that we had no idea about. And so I went back to National CASA and to CASA of New Jersey to say, hey, you know, I know that we address cultural competency in our training, but there's not enough that talks about why these disproportionalities exist
right
within child welfare. So we contracted as a state with Dr. Carol Spigner, S-P-I-G-N-E-R,
yep,
if any of you are interested.
A very knowledgeable lady.
Who's yes amazing.
Yes.
To put together a training for CASA advocates statewide and staff and boards to understand how the disproportionality came to be from a historical perspective and how we can address it moving forward. So one of the legitimate criticisms, I think, of CASA programs as a whole is that the people who tend to be advocates tend to be upper middle class white ladies.
Absolutely.
Whose lived experience may not be reflective of the children that they are serving.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that they're not well-meaning, capable, intelligent, caring, wonderful advocates.
Exactly. It's not a criticism at all,
not
folks.
Not at all. No. It just might be that there are blind spots of things that they don't know because it hasn't been in their wheelhouse to know.
Right.
I've talked before about how I grew up poor. And so there are some shades from my perspective where I could see where those deficits may lie. If you don't know, you don't know what you don't know.
You don't, exactly. Yeah.
So CASA of New Jersey in concert with Dr. Spigner created this history of race and child welfare training that we offer a couple of times a month throughout the state for all advocates, for all board, for all staff members to help them get a glimpse that this is a real problem.
Yeah.
This is how the problem started. And here are some positive shifts within the child welfare system of how we can address this issue and be better advocates for all the children we serve.
Absolutely. And I think people have been open to this as well. I think the feedback that you have probably received, and I know CASA of New Jersey has received, is that the training has actually been very beneficial for those individuals who may have, as you mentioned, kind of have those blank spots when it comes to implicit bias or when it just comes to racism and that is just prevalent within our communities and within our culture at times.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, I'm one of the facilitators for this history race training. And the discussions that we have after Dr. Spigner's presentation.
Yeah, let's get into those. Yeah.
Deepens when we have African-American advocates or staff members who can contribute to that discussion and affirm the things that Dr. Spigner is saying from their own experience.
Yeah.
And I think it makes a difference for people when talking about race. If you know someone, it's a very different conversation than if it's in the theoretical.
Right.
Someone you know, respect, love, care about, something happens and it affirms that, yeah, this is a real thing. That's different.
Yes.
Right.
So absolutely.
I've been really proud of the work that we've been doing here at CASA Shaw in trying to raise awareness and make sure that all of our kids are being served in the way that they need to be served.
Yes.
It's not a cookie cutter thing. And, we've always been thoughtful about trying to pair kids with advocates who fill a need for them, whether it's educational advocacy or a male role model or somebody who has a background in mentoring,
right,
or whether it's somebody who's African American or Hispanic who can resonate with that child and be a trusted, caring, safe adult in their lives.
Absolutely. And I think our partnerships as well. And if there are other CASA programs listening to this podcast, even what may seem to be a simple partnership with a hair salon that understands how to properly treat African American hair and children's hair that aren't like us white folks.
It's true.
Something as simple as that can make all the difference in the world. Partnerships that we have here at CASA Shaw and other CASA programs have them as well as CASA of New Jersey. It goes to show that we're getting better. We're doing better. We're learning more. We are educating ourselves. We're educating our CASA volunteers and our community at large. And I think partnerships that we have in this regard are very important within the conversation.
I agree. And in fact, today I just returned a call from our friends at Jack and Jill of Central New Jersey.
Yeah, they're great.
That they have put together hair care and skin care kits for our African American children that advocates can just pull off the shelf and take with them to their visits.
Yeah.
It's that kind of cultural competency of understanding that there are differences and that there are ways that we can support children where they need it, in the way that they need it, that we need to do and be better at and just fill that space with not just love,
right,
but with understanding, knowledge, and competence.
Absolutely. Being the kind of going back to the history of race training here in New Jersey within the CASA programs, you are, as you mentioned, a facilitator of that particular training. After folks are done with it, getting the information, the very valuable information that they receive throughout that training, what has been your experience with regard to that light switch moment, perhaps, for them? Because inevitably, that's what we want, because CASA volunteers, board members, staff, whoever it is, are then going to have, perhaps, and hopefully, the goal is, a much more open mind and understanding about another aspect of our American culture here. And like, what has that experience been for you in particular after facilitating and maybe that light switch moment for folks?
It's been really a beautiful experience, I think, to have other people say, thank you for providing this. We had no idea.
Yeah.
From things like one of the stories that Dr. Spigner talks about, that there was an orphan train of Irish children who were sent out to Arizona and were placed with Mexican-American families. And the wives of the mine bosses that these families were employed by were horrified at the thought of white children being placed with Hispanic families and demanded that the kids be removed. And they were. And it was upheld by the courts.
Yeah.
Because they said by virtue of their manner of living, it was just horrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet it was upheld by the law that this was okay.
Right.
She goes through all of the laws, the iterations of the laws over the years, that if you were an unmarried woman, you were not entitled to any kind of support or help.
Unreal.
Because
unbelievable.
Because you're a fallen woman.
Right.
And so you and your kid deserve to starve.
Ugh,
and then
gosh.
those changes didn't happen until the 60s, mm-hmm. that unmarried women could be eligible for community support.
And I bet a lot of individuals didn't know that. Like you said, they just didn't know that necessarily before going into the training, coming out of it. Perhaps a bit of a different perspective and understanding.
For sure. Yeah. And when you see how for people who are poor based in race and class, how difficult the hill is to climb to provide for your child and to care for them when those kinds of barriers are put in place, it's no surprise that there's a disproportionality issue that exists. So we're happy to raise awareness about it.
Yeah.
If there's any programs that are listening and you want to go through the history of race training, I can do it via Zoom, baby. Just
there you
send
go.
Me an email. Tracy@casashaw.org, TracyEY@casashaw.org.
You are passionate about this subject, and you have been for so many years, and it is so great that not just our program, but other programs, other individuals are benefiting from that passion that you have. So again, Tracy gave out her email there, folks. Get in touch with her, because it is a fantastic training. It is just the knowledge that you get from it, you come out feeling different. And that's meant to happen, and it's a good thing.
It is a good thing, and I think it makes us more compassionate.
Yeah.
It makes us more effective as advocates.
Yep.
And I think it only benefits the black and brown children that we serve.
Absolutely.
To know and to understand how they got to this space and how we can do better by them and for them.
It's a great way to end this particular episode here. We hope you've been enjoying the content, and we have great resources on our website. Head over to casashaw.org and head to our resource page. We've got a lot of great videos. We've got this podcast and just so many other links where you can just learn about what is out there to help in terms of the world of foster care. Go back and listen to one of our last episodes. Tracy and I were talking about concrete resources that are needed. And I'm going to say this, Tracy, before we head out of here, you can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to have the bootstraps. And I think that's going to be a prevalent theme in our podcast.
Absolutely.
And it's what we're talking about here with regard to race, implicit bias, and what that means culturally and economically for folks as well. So
right.
You got to have the bootstraps to be able to pull them up.
And agreed. And just a shout out there to all of our advocates, regardless yes. of your race, your color, your creed. Thank you for all of the work that you're doing on behalf of our kids. And we're just looking to do it better. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's going to do it for us on this CASA Connection podcast. Feel free to follow us on Facebook. Search out CASA Shaw there. And we are on Instagram as well, CASA_Shaw. And check out some of our videos on YouTube. We have some great videos with regard to our board members, where we talk about board diversity and how important that is for our mission here at CASA Shaw. So that's going to do it for us, folks. Take care, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Have a great day.